Our first reading comes from the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. It's one of my favorite passages. Be strong and courageous, for you shall put this people in possession of the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to act in accordance with all the law that my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, so that you may be successful wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to act in accordance with all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall be successful. I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And our second reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same, will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Some years ago, when I was serving a church out in the Northeast, we would take the high school students, some other adult advisors, and myself together to go on a ski and snowboard trip each winter. Well, one of the years when we were planning for this trip, one of the advisors said, "Hey, I bet you could use my parents' place. It's up by Lake George near a ski and snowboard mountain called Gore Mountain." So we said, "Sure, we'll give this a try. We'll check out your parents' little place that you describe." And we went up there, and this was the little place that they were talking about. So needless to say, we continued to use this little place from then on. But something fascinating happened. The first time we went up there, as we were still unpacking inside, I looked out one of those big windows and saw one of the students who's standing out in front here basically falling to the ground. And I thought, "Lord have mercy, what's going on? Did he fall off the balcony?" I raced outside and saw that student waist deep in one of these snowbanks with a big smile on his face. And then I saw another of the students with a video camera focused right at him. And then I looked up and saw there were other students on the balcony waiting their turn to jump off. And I thought about, you know, you'd think, all right, a ski and snowboard trip, there's going to be plenty of opportunities for thrill-seeking. You've got Black Diamond runs, so if you want that, I would think there's plenty of it. But no, for these students, they wanted a little balcony jumping also. And I thought about that afterwards, the impetus for that kind of a thing, to jump off balconies immediately when we arrived. And now part of that may be just the thrill of thrill-seeking, but it occurred to me something else may be part of the impetus for that kind of activity, and it's this, that these students may have known something or sensed something intuitively. And that is, as adolescents, as those making the transition from childhood to adulthood, they just may have realized, recognized, or intuitively that they needed something in order to be adults, to be thriving adults, that we might call courage. They were taking plenty of classes in English, math, and science, but they knew, too, that in order to make that adjustment and thrive as adults, they needed this other subject, too, courage. And so they created a crash course in courage to train and test themselves in it. And if I'm right, and that is part of the impetus for their balcony jumping activity, they're on to something, aren't they? Because don't we need courage as adults to live as thriving adults who are hearing and fulfilling God's call? Don't we need courage? When you apply to a college or grad school, you need courage. When you start a new program, as some of you may be doing, starting at Fuller or Caltech, you need courage. When you consider taking on a new job, one you know you're not quite ready for, you need courage to make that big presentation, to publish that article, to put out that piece of art that you've been working on and the vulnerability that entails, to put out that first book. It takes courage to ask somebody out, to say yes when somebody asks you out, to marry another person, to have children, to raise children. All of that takes courage, doesn't it? To choose a single life takes courage. To wake up one day after a relationship has fallen apart and face that day takes courage. To tell your story if you were the victim of sexual misconduct, abuse, or assault, we remember this week especially, takes great courage. Living as an adult takes courage. To continue to learn and develop as you get older, to take new steps, try new things, grow with and alongside other people, all these things take courage. And when it comes to the life of discipleship, when it comes to the life of faith, that takes courage too, doesn't it? To hold tight to our faith with so many forces seeking to pull us off that path, it takes courage. To hear Christ's call, to follow it wherever it might lead, to say yes, to give over our lives to God, to give up our destinies and put those in God's hands, that kind of relinquishment calls for a profound kind of courage. So I think the students were onto something if that balcony jumping involved training in courage, because they will need it. We need it, don't we? This thing called courage. Today's text may be the most famous in all of Scripture on the subject of courage. It presents it as this precious thing. It is spoken of three times in today's text, this thing called courage. The Hebrew word for it is amatz, which means to be stout, strong, and bold. It's sometimes translated as to harden or to make firm. It's the notion that in order to get from the place you are to the place you were meant to be, you need something, a resolve that Scripture calls amatz, courage. You know what amatz is, don't you? You know it when you're on the top of a black diamond ski snowboard run and look down. You know it when you're on the top of a balcony looking down. You know what amatz is when you get that call offering you a job that you know you're not quite ready for. You get that call asking you out when you're not sure you are ready for another relationship. Or you get invited to take on some new leadership role at work or at church, and you feel ill-prepared for it. I knew what amatz was when I went with some of those very students cliff jumping at a water park in New Jersey. That's not me, by the way, but it is a picture of the cliff that was one of the attractions at this water park. And as I stood up there alongside other students, I'm embarrassed to say it was like an invisible wall came up in front of me, preventing me from taking one simple step. What I needed, I knew, was this determination, a resolve that Scripture calls amatz. Eventually, I got that courage, but Lord, it took longer than I would care to admit. Three times, God calls Joshua to be courageous in today's passage. Three times, and the first is in reference to going to the promised land. Be strong and courageous, God tells Joshua, for you shall put this people in possession of the land that I swore to your ancestors. In the last chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, the book that precedes Joshua, the people of God were camped at the plains of Moab, that is over in this region. And while at Moab, Moses traveled to Mount Nebo, and there he was able to briefly glimpse the broad expanse of promised land. Here is how one artist imagined Moses looking out on that land that was promised to the descendants of Moses. God had said to Moses, "This is the land I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants." But Moses was not to enter that promised land. Here is a glimpse of what we think is Mount Nebo today, with a boy and looking out on places like Jericho, Jerusalem, and the land of Canaan out there. After Moses dies, his successor Joshua is charged to continue that journey Moses began. And we read that charge in today's passage, and it is to cross the barrier called the Jordan River, right along there. That marked the separation between where God's people were and where God ultimately wanted them to be. And the truth is, there is always a Jordan River, isn't there? There is always something between where we are now and where we sense God leading us. This barrier, this wall that comes up and makes us wonder, can we make it? And to cross that barrier, we need courage. But then a second time, God calls for Joshua to be strong and courageous. And this second time is in reference not to making a physical journey, not to crossing the physical Jordan River. Instead, the second call to courage is in reference to obeying the law of Moses. Do not turn from that law, God commands Joshua, to the right hand or to the left. Meditate on it day and night. Don't let it leave your mind or your mouth, but internalize it. Make it a part of your daily life, a part of who you are. You see, there is courage called for in making a physical journey or in entering a new tangible relationship, going to a new place, starting a new program. But there's also courage called for in holding tight to your moral and spiritual center in taking on some new undertaking. It's possible to make a journey, in other words, like that from Moab to Canaan, and lose your soul in the process. The law crystallized so powerfully in the Ten Commandments, pictured here by Rembrandt, being lifted up by Moses. That law has often been boiled down to two commandments: loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. To do that, to hold tight to that kind of an ethic, that kind of a religious conviction along the way as you reach your destination, is hard. And sometimes in getting where you want to go, you can risk losing your soul on the way. Have any of you read the book by Anthony Doerr, All the Light We Cannot See? Those of you in the women's book group, I know you've read this. It's a lovely little book, isn't it? And one of the stories I found most moving in this book is about a boy who discovers there's a difference between courage in undertaking physical challenges and courage in undertaking moral and spiritual challenges. The boy that Anthony Doerr writes of is a boy named Werner who grows up as an orphan in early 1940s Germany. And Werner is gifted with electronics and fixing things, and this lands him something that few 14-year-old boys who come from an orphanage would ever have the opportunity to do. He is invited to apply for one of the most elite German schools. And so he goes to 8 days of testing. And during this testing time, the boys face all kinds of physical challenges: running, jumping, climbing, and each day many of the recruits give up. It's just too hard. Then on the eighth and final day, the last test comes. Each of the boys, one by one, is told to climb up a ladder 25 feet in the air, to step out on a platform and jump into a flag that is held by the other recruits. As Werner watches, one of the boys, a stout young man, climbs up, and when he's up on the platform, he faints and falls where only part of his body lands on the flag. He breaks both his forearms. Werner is not long after him. As he climbs up the ladder, he tells himself he must not waver. Be strong and courageous, he says to himself. And when he gets up to the top of the platform, he doesn't waste a second in closing his eyes and jumping right off. That the examiner sees, and that we believe is a crucial element in allowing Werner to attend the school. But then when he attends the school, he discovers that even though he can conquer these physical challenges, this is actually a school in 1940s Germany to train young men in the Nazi cause. In other words, in this journey of training that he undergoes at the school, he discovers that he might be growing in courage and tackling physical challenge, but he's losing his soul. This comes most to light in his eyes one day when each of the boys are awoken at 2 a.m. and brought out. It's a February night, and they're brought out. A prisoner is shown in front of them, tied to a post in the snow. The prisoner, who Werner thinks may be a Russian or may be a Pole. And each of the boys is told that this man is a barbarian and doesn't deserve to live. So they're told one by one to take a bucket of water and pour it on the man until he dies of hypothermia. Each of the 14-year-old boys does this one by one, and Werner does it as well. And then something happens that speaks to Werner of moral courage. One of the boys, Frederick is his name, receives a bucket of water and pours it on the ground. He's given another bucket of water, and again, he pours it on the ground. And then the third time, Werner is given a bucket of water, and he says, "I will not. I will not." And those words haunt Werner from then on. They showed a kind of moral, a spiritual courage that he himself had not yet developed, and it spoke to him. There is a difference, isn't there, in that courage we need to overcome physical struggles or even enemies, and a courage we need to hold tight to our moral and spiritual center in the journey. There's that courage that comes from saying, "I will not." Be strong and courageous, God tells Joshua, not only in crossing the Jordan River, be strong and courageous in obeying the law of Moses every step of the way. That law, we remember, Jesus famously summed up in the law of love of God and love of neighbor. And if you interpret that love of neighbor, Leviticus 19:18, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you interpret it as Jesus does in the parable of the Good Samaritan, then love of neighbor means not just loving that neighbor who's a part of your people group, but loving that neighbor on the other side of the road, that neighbor who might be part of another group. And if that's what is meant in the law by loving your neighbor, then we have to say the people of God, as they're described in Joshua, and Joshua himself, will fail horrifically at times in loving that neighbor different from themselves. And it is a hard call. The call both to travel where God would lead us or to be a different person where we are on one hand, but then also to hold tight to God's law along the way and love our neighbor as ourselves. Perhaps this quality of moral and spiritual courage is what Jesus wants to highlight in today's text from Matthew, lest God's people in his day think that the journey of faith is just about a destination and not how you get there. In today's New Testament text, Jesus points to the importance of the law, saying he'd come not to abolish it, but to fulfill it. And whoever breaks that law and teaches others to do the same, Jesus said, will be called least in the kingdom. Perhaps Jesus is emphasizing that following him was not just going to the places that Jesus would send his disciples and tell them to go. Faithfulness also meant holding fast to God's law along the way, a law he famously summed up in love of God and neighbor. And yet God's people in Scripture and God's people, that is us today, fail, don't we? We fail in courage to go where God leads, and we fail in courage to hold fast to God and God's law on the way. So praise God for the third call to courage. First call to courage, cross that Jordan River. Second call to courage, hold tight to God's law on the way. Third call to courage is accompanied not by a challenge, but by an assurance. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Without that assurance, without those final words, God's people could not hope to muster the courage needed. But with the assurance you are not alone, with the assurance God is with you, picking you up when you fall, renewing you, forgiving you when you fail, as we do. With that, the merciful, loving, accompanying presence of God, with confidence in that, all is possible, even courage. Have you known somebody who displayed extraordinary courage? And when you trace the source of that courage, it led right back to those great words, "The Lord your God is with you wherever you go." I met such a man, Danilo Rueda, when I took a trip some years back to Colombia. I went as an international observer to spend time with Christian communities that were threatened by military and paramilitary forces in Colombia. That group that organized my visit was the Interchurch Commission of Justice and Peace, an organization supported largely by Presbyterian and Catholic churches within the country of Colombia. The organization seeks to protect threatened communities by bringing international accompanists to spend time with them and to report any incursions on the rights and safety of those communities to the world. The process deters violence and does so without resorting to violence. I met Danilo, this fellow, when I flew into Bogota, and this is the first night we were together staying in a Catholic church and meeting a priest there. And then I traveled with Danilo to these communities. It took roughly 7 or 8 hours by canoe, by boat, and various other means of transportation to get to these remote areas. And it was Danilo who led our training in how to respond to paramilitaries. The day before I arrived, paramilitaries had come and threatened the community. So at this table, after taking the picture, I got to learn how to say in Spanish as accurately as I could, "I am an international observer, please don't shoot me." Danilo led that training and would often travel to these communities, and I was struck by the courage as a Colombian in doing that. I asked him if he'd ever been threatened, and he said, "Sure." And I asked, "Well, how did that come to you?" And he said, "Well, he got a call once that said, if you don't stop this work," that was the motion Danilo made. Another time he got a note left in his mailbox that said, if he didn't stop this work, bad things would happen to him. And yet another time he traveled to visit a sibling of his and her family. And when he did that, this family had received shortly before his arrival a note that said, "Your brother better be careful. We are watching him and we are not kidding." So I asked Danilo, what keeps you in this kind of work? And his answer basically boiled down to a word, God. He had been to seminary like I had, but in seminary he had sensed the call of God as we know it in Christ, leading him not to pastor a church, but rather to be involved with those who were threatened by violence and incursions, by supporting communities as they sought to organize themselves and defend themselves and build up themselves in God's love in that process. And he had such a deep sense of God's call on him leading into these communities, and he had a sense of God's presence on the journey, that he felt he could do just about anything, even this kind of work. And it is amazing, isn't it, what we can accomplish, what we can undertake, and how tight we can hold to our souls on the way if we know God is with us. And that's the great assurance of today's passage from Joshua. And as Christians, we believe that assurance came to us in a new way in Jesus the Christ, who we believe is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the very presence of God that comes to God's people and walks with us in the journey, giving us reason to take courage. It's no accident that when Jesus sent his disciples out in a boat to cross over to the other side, and they're straining against an adverse wind, wondering if they can cross that barrier, Jesus comes out to them right then, walking on water, and says, "It is I," promising presence. And with that, he can say something else: "Take courage." Now I know for each one of you, For me too, there are parts of our lives in which we need courage. Maybe there's some new undertaking you have taken on, and now you wonder if you have the strength and determination to make it through. Maybe there's some change you feel led to make in your life, or some truth you just know you need to speak. Maybe there's some practice you feel you should take up, or some addiction or temptation you feel like you should leave behind. There is some Jordan River that you are meant to cross. Maybe you need to seek help in dealing with some issue and you're just afraid to do it. That Jordan River is in front of you. Or maybe you're worried that in your journey of life you are losing your soul, compromising it in some fashion. Friends, if you are feeling that today, hear again the good news of Scripture. God is with you. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Hear the good news and take courage. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, amen.